So that's a spiral path. The reason that there are three here is that this one starts with a feeling. It starts with the experience of dukkha. Yeah. So it's the technical term, it's an affective model. Yeah. It's about feeling. And you can look at people as operating in three main areas, really. You've got feeling, you've got thinking, and you've got doing. So the other two spiral paths, largely they're the same, they're going along the same basic ground. But the second one is a cognitive one. It's based on thought. It's based on the mind, as it were, rather than on feeling. So it starts, instead of starting in this with suffering, starting with dukkha, it starts with a wise consideration. Yoniso manisakara mulaka dhamma. What that means is clearly observing what's going on with your mind, in a way, yeah? And choosing which mental states to cultivate. So it's a state of clear-minded mindfulness, in a way. And the last one, the third list is based on ethical conduct. So the point I'm making is that the same basic spiral goes on, as it were. The Dharma Niyama operates in the same basic way. One goes through the same sorts of stages of calming the mind, concentrating, seeing things as they are, and developing freedom on the basis of that. And you can come at it either from the perspective of one's emotions, from the perspective of one's cognitive faculty of the mind, or one can come at it from the basis of how one behaves. Yeah. You can work at it. In a way, we all have to work at it from all of those angles, as it were. I think that's what's important. I have some friends who see the spiritual path in terms of the cultivation of wisdom. That's what they're interested in. Yeah. For me, it's about helping others, just because I'm a doer, as it were. I'm mainly volitional. For others, it's about the development of compassion. Yeah. So they're volitional. They're people who relate to the world primarily on the basis of their feelings. And so, yeah, there'll be, as we've gone through this course, there'll be, in a way, that's one of the reasons I suggested you think about what you've learned, what you found most fruitful, as it were. Starting to see what it is that excites you about developing yourself, how will the path pan out for you? However you care to follow the path, as it were, you can follow it as a Buddhist, you can, follow the spiritual path however you like. You can work to develop yourself, use the things that are available here, or if there are other Buddhist schools or other spiritual traditions you find more useful, then use those. But the basic principles, I think, are fairly standard. Now, at the bottom of this page that I've handed out, I'm not going to read the whole thing through because I haven't got much time, but you can read it through yourselves, is part of a text which I think relates to the last list. And the point it's making is that in order to move along the path, as it were, you don't have to work at, if you're experiencing faith, you don't have to sort of work at cultivating joy. Joy is a natural consequence of the experience of faith. Rapture will come out of that, di-da-di-da-da. You don't need to worry about doing what you need to do next in terms of the spiral path. You always just work at the beginning. You put the work in terms of creating that gap between feeling and craving, or feeling and aversion. Yeah? You work in that gap of working on your mind. You work with cultivating positive emotion. You work at acting skillfully, yeah? Acting wholesomely, acting with generosity, with love, with kindness. Yeah? We just work on that level all of the time. And you can leave the Dharma Niyama to act as it will, as it were. The stages of the path will unfold naturally. You just put the legwork in at the beginning, as it were, because that's where we're always working. Yeah? We're always working at just trying to be a little bit more clear, a little bit more aware, a little bit more kind. Yeah? to open up that gap between, you know, between the reactive mind. You know, just slow that down. Slow the spinning of the wheel down a little bit. And that's the point that's being made at the bottom, really. It's just work where you are, all the time, wherever you are. And it's something I've been banging on about in the meditations on this course every week, isn't it? It's kind of like, it doesn't matter if you sit down to do the metta bhavana and you're in a furious rage, or whether you're completely, you know, loved up. Work from wherever you are. In some respects, it's easier to work when you're in a bad state, as it were. It's clearer what you've got to do. If you sit down and you're already quite concentrated, or you're already quite metaful, as it were, it can be harder to work from there, because it's, you know, it's not so clear what it is you're working with. Whereas you sit down in a furious rage, it's kind of quite clear what you've got to do, isn't it? It's quite obvious. And I think that's what's, you know, in a way, if you know, if you don't take anything more home from this course than that, really, is just be content to work from wherever you are, and be able to work from that without beating yourself up about not being where you ought to be. Then I'll have done something useful over the last few weeks, really. Okay, that's me done in terms of what I've got to say. Are there any questions or observations?
So, to find that gap, you've got bored and just going around the world. And you just go, oh God, I don't want to go around again. Is that more or less it?
Well, in a way,
it's not been doing me any good so far. I want it to be different.
Yeah, in a way, it's a manifestation of faith that you came on this course, each of you, as it were. There's this sense that perhaps there's something there that might help me, that might be a way of breaking free. Yeah, I mean, you know, for each of us, what that means will be different. Some of us will be very attracted to the ideal of freedom, some of us to wisdom, some of us to freedom from suffering, some of us to, you know, wanting to help others. What it is that attracts us varies enormously, and that's one of the reasons there are so many different Buddhist figures, as it were, because there are representations of each of those, of the goal in, you know, as it might affect each other. In terms of what we do, it's just this very basic stuff I've been hammering out on about week after week, really. Slow the mind, cultivate positive emotion, start to be clearer about how your actions have consequences. And hang around with people who can help you to do that.
But, the impression that I got, sort of initially at least, was firmly tied to the wheel, that, you know, to find the spiral path as such in this time, lifetime, you know, you're going to wait a long time, but it's not quite like that.
Well, it's back to what I say, it's kind of you work from where you are all of the time. In a way, this kind of the symbol, you know, one can take the whole wheel and spiral thing a bit too literally.
Yeah.
One can always be doing what one needs, you know, something to move off the wheel, as it were. It's more like one kind of goes around the wheel, and then one moves up a bit and goes around the wheel in a slightly more refined way, and then one goes around the wheel in a slightly more refined way. And it's a bit more like that than one kind of leaves the wheel entirely. You know, you don't actually leave the wheel entirely until at least knowledge and vision of things as they really are. Well, it might be that you've got something you can give there. You know, that's where it starts to, you know. I've got something I can communicate after 10 years of doing this. I was having a conversation with somebody that weekend. I do not see myself as a spiritual being. Yeah? I know. I'm just a bloke trying his best to make sense of things. You know. But I've got my head around this stuff to a sufficient degree that I can communicate it a bit to people that they can start to put it into practice. You know. It would be great if we had people at every centre who had genuine spiritual insight, then they'd be much more effective teachers than I am. but I'm the best we've got at the moment.
Could you explain to me, we've got the wheel, what is this?
The big monster. Oh yeah, I forgot him, didn't I? Okay. Yeah, that was because you missed the first week, wasn't it? Okay, so the wheel is held in the grip of the demon of impermanence. And here's a manifestation of the way in which we interpret things based on our consciousness. From our point of view, we see impermanence as threatening. Yeah, as a scary monster. Whereas actually, you know, impermanence could equally be manifest as a being of great beauty, because impermanence is the same quality that brings us out of the hell realms when we're in the hell realms. Yeah, change is just change. It's neutral in a way. We relate to it either as a monster or as a blessing, depending on whether it's bringing us, you know, it's taking us away from something that we like or bringing us towards something we like. It's nerdy fighting it, you know. It's inevitable. We've also got the Buddha and the Buddha pointing at the moon. So, the moon is a symbol for enlightenment.
Is this the moon?
The moon is the hair, has the hair in it, and the Buddha's teachings, the Dharma, is said to be a finger pointing at the moon. Yeah, you have to follow the Dharma. You have to put the Dharma into practice to achieve enlightenment. The Buddha can't do it for you. There are no saviors in Buddhism.
Why the moon and not the sun?
I think it's a cultural difference. I think it's to do with coming from a country where it's very, very, very hot. And the sun is actually something to be avoided. Whereas, because we live in the northern hemisphere and quite a long way from the equator, it probably would be the sun in our culture. I think there's also this... The moon is also a symbol of change, isn't it? It was, at the time of the Buddha taught, it was the calendar. You know, you measured the passing of time by the changes of the phases of the moon. And it comes into fullness. So it's the full moon that communicates enlightenment.